Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm producing a series of programs on the subject of the will of God. This program is number 5 in the series. At the end of the previous program, I was explaining that there are different ways that people try to obtain peace in their lives. Instead of resting in the peace that God gives us peace as our inheritance or part of our inheritance in Christ Jesus. This is part of salvation, part of being born again and being made a child of God. You receive an inheritance from Him as a result of His death, in reference to the death on the cross. And part of this is peace. He gives us peace in our lives. He does this by changing the way things are and by changing the way that things should be. He does both. He changes the way that things are by executing forgiveness for the entire world. In doing that, the change is that He no longer holds our sins against us. That is a big change in the sense of how things really are. Before that, He did hold our sins against us, and now He doesn't. And so the way things are very different. He also changes the way that things should be by, instead of asserting that we have to be perfect like Him, instead of asserting perfection, He declares that we are now going to exist in a state of growth and change. And He's able to do that. He's able to work with us in the midst of our sinfulness because He no longer holds our sins against us. Before, He would not be able to work with you to grow you and mature you and do a work within you because He would have to wait until you achieved perfection. That is what the Lord Jesus related when He was conducting His ministry as a way of understanding the Old Covenant as it was presented through Moses. But in accordance with the New Covenant, through not remembering our sins anymore, the requirement of perfection first has now been removed so that He can engage with us in a relational way before we achieve perfection. And if anyone wants to challenge us on the basis of our sin, He can assert through the judicial decision that there is perfection because He doesn't hold our sins against us anymore. But this was necessary so that He could give to us all that we need for life and godliness. And what we need is His Spirit dwelling within us so that He can give to us what we need in the deepest part of our being. He does not give us some kind of special supernatural or superhero powers to now no longer sin. What He gives is Himself to us to meet the deepest needs that we have. He created us to have certain needs, needs for acceptance, for peace, for love, for wisdom. These are things that we have a need for, and He meets these needs Himself personally. But when a person is not resting in the complete forgiveness of sins, and they certainly are not resting in the peace that God has given them, they must do something to fulfill the deep need that they have within them to increase the amount of peace in their lives. And so at the end of the previous program, I was explaining that there are 3 fundamental ways that a person tries to increase the peace in their lives because they don't have peace. They are not able to rest in the peace that God has already given to them in Christ Jesus, and so they must have an alternative. The first way, and I explained this at the end of the previous program, is that people will use blame. They will just simply find someone to blame. Just as Eve blamed the snake, Adam blamed Eve, and Adam even blamed God for what had happened. It didn't make any difference, though, who blamed who or how you levied blame, because in the end, they were still removed from the garden. So it is also in our life now. if you find someone to blame, and maybe they are to blame, it still will not change anything about the way things really are. It may describe how you got to where you are, but it does absolutely nothing to change the way things are. And so even though a person may find a sense of comfort in blaming someone else, and in that way they may experience some sense of peace that they can say it's not their fault, they might be right. But regardless of that, it doesn't change anything about the way things are. It doesn't change anything about the way that their life is. And when there is an expectation of the way that things should be, and the way that things are don't change, you still do not have an increase in peace. And so blame is used often, but it's a very dysfunctional way to approach that. I get calls and I get emails from people quite often in the Christian world who contact me and use blame in order to try to increase their sense of peace in their lives. They tell me about the struggles that they are having and how much they are fighting the demons of hell and how they're always all over them and causing them all kinds of problems in their life. Well, they might be, but you're still responsible for how you respond, for how you react, for what you do. You're still responsible for what you do in response to the circumstances of life. So you have a lot of demons and you have a lot of people, you have a lot of noise around you. So what? You still have to live your life, and you may have a lack of peace just because of the bombardment of demands upon you in this way. I can understand that, but people use this as a way of saying that it is someone else's fault, another person or a demonic spirit. It is someone else's fault that they are not experiencing peace in their lives. Many years ago, I helped someone who was really struggling with a lot. This person had a very difficult life, and they were being helped by a whole team of psychologists for years. And one day, this person experienced a dramatic change in their lives. It was so profound that the team of psychologists were very concerned about what had happened. How could this have possibly happened? They had been working with this guy for many years, and this person had experienced no fundamental change in their person whatsoever. But one day, something happened, and they were doing great. Eventually, they found out that I had something to do with it. And I did. I had something to do with it. I talked with him. And of course, we had a lot of things to talk about, but the core issue that really made the biggest difference for him was when I convinced him of the truth that regardless of what had happened in his past, he has to take responsibility for the sins that he committed, and he has to take responsibility for his life today. He cannot blame someone else. He cannot blame his past. He cannot blame his dysfunctional family. He cannot blame the psychologists. He cannot blame anyone. He must take personal responsibility for the sins that he committed, and he must resolve those by recognizing that they are so evil that there is nothing that he can do to resolve those things. If there are some things that he can do to maybe help compensate for the losses that people experienced, he should certainly do that. But for those things that there is nothing he can do about, he must embrace forgiveness from God with regards to those things and move on now into the new day that he has right now. And he must take responsibility for his decisions and his actions right now. That is the way things are. He is responsible for his sins in his past, and he is responsible for his decisions in his life in the present. That's all that he needed. And that made a very profound impact on his life to the point where the psychologists called me in and asked me to defend myself and explain to them what I had done in order to help this guy. And it was simple. I told them that there is only one family in the history of humanity that was not dysfunctional. That was Adam and Eve. And the reason why they were not dysfunctional was because they blamed the snake, and that was the model that they were using. They were using the model of teaching this person how to blame the snake, how to blame somebody else instead of taking responsibility for themselves. I explained it in that way, and that ended the conversation because all they knew, all that they embraced, all that they wanted to do was help people learn how to blame someone else for their problems, and that is how they obtain peace. And I gave him the sober-minded reality of the way things are and what Jesus had done for him so that he can have a new life in Christ Jesus and an inheritance that he can use in order to rebuild a new life for himself. The second way that people try to increase the amount of peace in their lives is to try to change the way that things are, normally by changing themselves. And we can do things to change ourselves. As I mentioned, you can take responsibility for yourself, and you can make decisions, and you can experience an increase in peace in your life by making better decisions and by taking responsibility for yourself. But this is not the peace that God has given to us. Just as I referred to the person earlier by explaining that he needed to take personal responsibility, he can certainly experience a profound change in his life. He can change the way that things are through that. But that is not the same as the peace of God that God gives to us in our inheritance. Those are two different things. But unfortunately, people will embrace the decisions that we make in order to change our values, change what is important to us, change our flesh, change our behavior, change our decisions, and this is how we increase peace. And I say no. You can increase your quality of life, and I don't want to discourage that, but that is not the same as the peace of God. The peace of God is what is given to you by Him that defines a new reality, that you are a new person that He is going to work with, and that He is going to grow, and that He is going to change in His own way. We can grow and change in our own way as well. We can make decisions to educate ourselves more. We can make decisions to change the way that we use our time. I don't want to discourage that. But I want you to see that those are two different types of peace. One is a type of peace that we generate in our own lives through our own decisions, and the other kind of peace is a peace that is given to us so that we can make different decisions. So one is something that we do, and then we obtain peace. The other is a peace that we are given so that we can go and do other things in a different way because of what we have at our disposal. The peace of God is given to us that we utilize and live with. The peace that we generate ourselves is a peace that we change the way we live, and we obtain peace as a consequence. So those are two different approaches. And the second one, while we should be encouraged to do that, when this is utilized by the Christian world and it is asserted that this is the way of God, that God has given us a path of righteousness before us, and we are to embrace this path and live this path. He has given us principles to live by. He has given us the ability to discern good and evil so that we can make better choices. And in this way, we can eventually obtain peace. That is a denial of the fact that He has already given us His peace and we are to live with. Instead, people are suggesting that through the path that has been laid before us, the life of pursuing holiness, the life of appreciating the value of better decisions and a life of righteousness that results in peace, that is dysfunctional. That is a dysfunctional way of understanding the relationship between us and our God. We can certainly do that for our own personal benefit, but to say that that is our relationship with God is a dysfunctional description, and that is what the majority of the Christian world is doing. The comparison between the two, I think, is better understood by realizing that you are never going to be able to make enough changes in yourself to ever obtain perfect peace. But because of the changes that God made, you can experience a perfect peace with Him. And so when the Christian world embraces the decision model that we can incorporate in our lives, and we should. But when the church embraces that as if it is the way of God, then perfect peace is never, never attainable. And this is why I will call it dysfunctional. And then the third way is to change the expectations of the way that things should be. And I explained at the end of the previous program that this is often represented as people changing the standards by which God may expect us to live by. Instead of the entire Mosaic Law, let's just take part of the Mosaic Law. What's used quite often is the Sermon on the Mount. When a person is first born again and they become a Christian, it's very common for people to study the Sermon on the Mount. And I, of course, produced a whole series of programs on the subject of the Sermon on the Mount. I would strongly encourage you to listen to those programs. But a fundamental way that people try to obtain peace as a new Christian is to look at the Sermon on the Mount and realize that there is a standard, there is an expectation. And it's taught in the sense that we will never be able to obtain the perfection that Jesus is describing, that he is proclaiming to people. He is explaining what is expected of the people, and we will never be able to do it perfectly. This is a standard study in the Sermon on the Mount. But we are to try. That's what is conveyed. We are to try. We are to try and try hard and to get as close as we can to this standard that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount. To get as close as we can. That means that instead of doing it right, we are to do it as good as we can. That is a change in the expectations. That is a change in the standard of the way things should be. Again, in general, what happens is that people will introduce a new Christian to something like the Sermon on the Mount and say we will never be able to reach the perfect standard that Jesus required, but we will be able to try and to get as close as we can, which means that we are going to reduce the expectations of the way that things should be. And through this reduction, you can have peace in your life. You can have peace in your life because you can get as close to it as you can, however you can do it now. And so you can have peace because it's okay to get close and not perfect. Again, people are proclaiming that you can have peace as a Christian because it's okay to get really close and not perfect. And what makes it okay is that forgiveness is supposedly there in order to make provision as the provision for where you fall short. And so you are to be obedient as much as you can. Maybe you can do 40% or 50% of what Jesus expected when he gave the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe you can do half of it. Don't worry, the other half of it, that's what forgiveness is for. That's how it's often proclaimed. And you can have peace because you have forgiveness for the other half that you're not able to do. And this, to me, is a very dysfunctional way of trying to obtain peace in your life. What does that mean? That means that the more you grow in your supposed relationship with Christ, the more you get your flesh under control, the more that you incorporate these principles of daily living into your life experience, the less you have a need for forgiveness, the less you have a need for Jesus. That's what it means. The better you get in your flesh, the less you need your God. That's fundamentally what happens. And more a person has less of a need for forgiveness. I look at this in a completely different way. He provides us complete forgiveness because we will never be able to reach the standard that Jesus gave. Jesus gave the standard. This was it. It's either perfection or you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Getting close to it is not good enough. Being as good as the scribes and the Pharisees is not good enough. Your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, and it's not exceeded because you have a little extra forgiveness to tack on to the end of your life, which is exactly how a lot of people approach this. You either reach the perfect standard or you don't. God provided complete forgiveness, and so the entire subject is over. Forgiveness sets us free from the law entirely, sets us free from all that Jesus proclaimed on the Sermon on the Mount. Forgiveness sets us free from that, so that the way things should be is changed. The way that things should be is changed to now we enter into a new covenant, and in the new covenant, we are going to grow and we are going to change because He meets the deepest needs of our hearts first. First, He gives us what we need, and then we will experience change and transformation. In the programs that I produced on overcoming sin, I talk about this in the context of how we will see a reduction of sin in our lives as a side effect of what He gives to us. But this, again, is not the objective. The objective is to know your God, not improve your flesh. You will certainly experience an improvement in your flesh, but that's not the objective. So also, the objective is not to experience an increase in peace a little bit at a time, per se. The objective is to rest in the peace that you have so that your life can change and you can build your life with the peace that you have. And so this is the third way that I would consider to be dysfunctional, is that we change the expectations. With the Sermon on the Mount example, people will say you are to try to get as close as you can. From a church organization point of view, there are different churches that exist because they have different standards. Different churches have different expectations. If you go to one church and they simply put too much pressure on you with regards to how much sin you might have in your life, then you can go to a different church where they don't talk about that. They don't worry about that so much. That is another dysfunctional way to try to increase the amount of peace in a person's life by simply not requiring that much of them. That doesn't mean that they don't expect anything. It just means that the standard has been reduced. The standard of the way that things should be is reduced. But by doing that, you live in denial of reality. You live in the denial of the reality of the perfection that God declares and that He requires if we are to establish our right standing with Him through our obedience, through our repentance. If that is the case, then the reduction of the expectations is a denial of reality. And this is what makes this approach dysfunctional. So whenever I see that, and I see that people are establishing or defining their Christian life by how they live, I always approach that from the perspective of, well, if that's how you want to think of the Christian life, then you're not doing enough. You're not reaching the standard that God really expects. To try to be a good person so that God will give you peace is dysfunctional. To receive peace from God, receive peace from Him, with Him, to have peace with Him, perfect peace, because of all that He's done and all that He has given, that is what we are to start with. And with that, our lives can be built in a new way. If you assume that God expects certain things of you, if you make the assumption that He has this definition of the way that things should be and you're just not quite there, you know, you have a reason to be anxious. You do. You have reasons to be anxious. You have reasons to be worried. You have reasons to be concerned. You should be, because you know full well that you are not quite there where God expects you to be. And forgiveness was not given to make up the difference. That's not what it was. And even though people try to believe that, I can tell that deep down inside, they know. They know that that just simply is not the truth. That that is not what forgiveness is for. Forgiveness is not there to make up for the difference for where we fall short. Forgiveness is there in order to redefine a new relationship. That's what it was for. And so when a person has anxiety, when a person is worried, when they are concerned, when they are unsure, when they are insecure in their relationship with their God, they should be. You really should be. But if you will rest in the peace that He has given to you, there is nothing to be anxious about. And so if a Christian is anxious, if they are experiencing such anxiety and a lack of peace, it is probably because they have a poor understanding of the differences between the Old and the New Covenants, or they are trying to use one of these three ways to obtain peace instead of resting in the truth that God has revealed concerning what He has already done for them. Thank you for listening. This program is program number 6 in the series produced on The Will of God. The purpose for this program was to describe the three ways that people will, in general, try to increase the peace in their lives, and that these ways that people try to increase their peace are not the same as the way that our God gives us peace through a direct relationship with Him. And that when people try to use these other methods within their faith to try to increase their peace with their God, it can have the side effect of decreasing peace with God, because when they do that, they will have to deny some of the realities that our God has clearly revealed to us concerning His expectations with the Old Covenant and the way things are with our flesh, which is why it is necessary for us to understand and embrace the New Covenant that God established through the complete forgiveness of sins.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937. Or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.